he is.
There's Cappy. You in South-South today, Cappy?
I am in South-South. You know, I'm observing the Passover holiday right now.
Oh, that's right. Course. Good Pesach to you.
Hey, now, good Pesach to
now
you.
Cappy, for those non-Jews such as myself, explain what does Passover entail?
You know, Johnny, I had to do this last night with Rachel.
Did you throw a Seder?
I did.
Is Rachel's not Jewish?
She's not.
Okay.
See, so I was throwing a Seder last night, so I was kind of giving her the same rundown.
Yep.
She does. I think she might like to be Jewish, because last night at the Seder, you know, you're supposed to have four glasses of wine.
Right.
So that's like right up her alley.
And don't you there leave you one for Elijah?
You do.
Yeah.
You're supposed to. So. Right.
Okay. I know. I've been to my
impressive
fair share of Seders, yeah.
Right. You sure have. So the story goes like this, Johnny. Moses was originally Egyptian.
Oh, we heard this yesterday on the show.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm having to just give it another brief synopsis.
Yeah, give me,
synopsis.
Give me the abridged version.
So Moses was Egyptian, right? But then Moses finds out that he's actually a Hebrewite. So Moses decides, hey, Pharaoh, these are my people. You got to let my people go. And the Pharaoh says, no, we're not doing that. You're our slaves. Get out there and build a pyramid.
Pyramid, yeah.
Jack. And so Moses tells him,
build
nah, man.
Build that pyramid, Jack.
Yeah, let my people go.
Yeah. Pharaoh said no dice on this, basically.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah. And so then Moses said, well, listen, you don't understand. God is about to rain down some serious consequences on you.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh didn't believe him. And then ultimately what happened is he turned water into blood and
the rivers, right?
Right. And he created there were frogs everywhere.
Oh, that was in the movie The Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
And then
so it shall be written, so it shall be done, Brenner.
Yeah.
Right. That's and so, then ultimately they took the first son, the firstborn of every Egyptian household, until the Pharaoh was like, all right, go ahead, you guys leave. And so then
go ahead.
And then Moses was like, all right, everybody follow me. And as they were flying through the desert, or at least trying to, they couldn't bake bread, so the bread never rose. So that's why we eat matzah right now. It's unleavened bread. And then when Pharaoh was like, wait a second, this sucks. We don't have anybody to build our pyramids. Go get them. Bring them back. Mm-hmm. That's when Moses parted the Red Sea. And when the Hebrewites walked through the Red Sea, that's when the Red Sea closed and it drowned all the Egyptians.
Oh,
so that's kind of the story of Passover.
That's a great story.
In a nutshell.
Yeah, in a nutshell. I feel part Jewish after hearing that.
So, don't you?
I was holed up a little bit in my hotel room in Denver because I wasn't feeling great on this trip. And I watched every game.
Yeah.
George Sedano, you did, for my money, one of the best sideline report. They should use this sideline report to teach seminars to other sideline reporters.
Okay.
This was so good. You were working a Minnesota
Phoenix. Suns. Yeah.
And the number one thing, I was a sideline reporter for 10 years. What they tell you is the minute they throw it to you, it's like, get out.
Yeah.
You got to get in and you got to get out. But you've got, so you did, and you did all this in less than a minute. You explained the game was kind of getting away from Phoenix, and you said, hey, guys, pay attention to the fourth quarter.
We're at the end of the third, pay attention to the fourth. Right.
Because what we have here are two teams. One team is really good in the fourth.
Minnesota's
plus something.
They were number two in the league, right, in the fourth quarter.
And Phoenix is the absolute worst.
Right.
They're in the bottom. So if Phoenix keeps falling behind here, this is not good for them. They do not play well in the fourth quarter. And oh, by the way, Naz Reid turned an ankle.
Right.
He's questionable to return.
Right.
Out.
Yeah. Textbook.
It was... I you probably don't even remember doing it.
I do. I remember the hit because of the end of the third quarter stuff.
Yeah, it was great.
Thank you.
I mean, so people, if you want to know how to do that job, watch it on.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. See, Cappy, he likes my sideline reports, unlike you.
I like your sideline reports.
Hard, and George will back me up on this. What's hard about being a sideline reporter is you never know when they're coming to
never,
you.
Oh, never, ever.
And
never.
Sometimes they'll come to you three times in a quarter. If I had you, I'd come to you three, four times a quarter.
Right.
A lot of times they'll throw it to you, and so you can tell when sideline reporters don't have anything to say.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You not only have things to say, but you get in, you get out, and it's gone.
He also gets weird things in for Cappy. Right?
I do.
I occasionally will get a weird thing.
Like,
in
what
for
was
Cappy?
The last weird thing you got?
Well, that was when I did play by play. We did, you know how Cappy.
It's easier to do if you're doing play by play.
Yeah, he wanted me to do Terminal H, which is a big bit on our show.
Sure.
So I said a guy hit a shot from all the way from Terminal H.
That's good. I
know what I mean?
That.
And then he wanted me to hit another one. He wanted South South. Instead of South-South L.A., because it was the Heat and the Mavericks, he wanted me to use South-South Miami.
Right.
So it's like he hit a shot from South-South Miami.
I like that. So I got that one. And then there were a couple of other show-related ones.
But wait a second. But recently, George was doing the play-by-play of a UFL football game.
Yes. I did, and I weaved Cappy into the conversation.
Oh, I've heard this.
Unbeknownst to him.
You said his name, right?
John, you'll love this. So I'm doing this UFL game in Texas. And it's me and Kirk Morrison.
Right.
And
I caught like a very small part of this.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So Kirk was dying of laughter when I did this. So an offensive lineman false starts, which really screwed up one of the teams. Like they were in like a third and short and it became like third and long because of this. And I looked at the guy on my board and it said that he went to Pitt. And I said, yeah, my guy Scott Kaplan is not going to be happy about him. You know, he's a Pitt alum just like this kid from, you know, so-and-so.
You found a way to drop
Cap in. And I just
weaved
him. I weaved him in. Yes. Right. And then Kirk just looks at me and just starts cracking
up. Cappy, have you ever had any play-by-play aspirations?
Not really.
I know you did sidelines for Westwood
Many
One
years.
For a long
NCBS
year.
NCBS TV?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. NCBS, yeah.
Yeah. One of the ones that Sedano did once was he got in the COT and so listen to this.
I did get the circle. Oh, that was it. I did get the circle of trust into a game. I was another a play-by-play game.
We
I
have said, it.
Oh, you have it? Okay,
yeah,
just play it.
Adebayo, the Miami Heat captain. He has taken that mantle from Udonis Haslem. Dwayne Wade had that for a time as well. Mm-hmm. Alonzo Mourning. It's what I like to call the Miami Heat circle of trust.
There you go.
Right? To where the captains see in Miami. There's not a lot of guys that pull that off.
Great, man. So, you know, we try to do it. We try to weave in some stuff occasionally just for the audience to be engaged. I mean, they would normally not be engaged in one of these games.
Right. Out of town NBA games.
Right.
Sure.
So one of the guys I play golf with is a guy named Eric Johnson. He used to play tight end for the 49ers.
Yeah.
He's married to Jessica Simpson.
84, right? Number 84?
Yeah, really, really, really good dude. Yeah. So randomly, he sends me this text the other day. Just go ahead and read the text. Did we lose it? Okay. I laughed because so you'll laugh when you get it.
He says.
He sends me the graphic at the top.
Right.
And then he writes what?
It says, this should be the Lakers intro song. Oh, wait, sorry. He writes,
he sent me that song.
Eminence Front, right, which is the song we play.
Right.
And it should be the Lakers intro song. Right.
Why is
and then
say
you
that,
said,
Johnny
it's
I?
Great. The radio show that's on after mine, Sedano and Cap, uses it as their theme. Oh, maybe subconsciously.
There you go. So you guys are starting. He wants to use it as the Lakers walk-in song. If that happens,
right,
do you guys get a cut?
I mean, we should, I think, at this point. Yeah. But Cappy actually stole it from the San Diego Chargers back
then.
That in
is
the day.
Absolutely true. Yeah. Way back in the day, and
at
Johnny
Qualcomm.
I and Mace, you guys will appreciate this,
yep.
But way back in the day at Qualcomm, before kickoff of NFL games, and I did plenty of them on, like George said, CBS, Westwood One, I did plenty of those games, they would play Eminence Front. And I always loved the song, but it always got the crowd crazy hyped.
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I don't even remember, George, do you, like how we brought it into the show?
You said we needed a theme song, and I said, I agree. And then you said, I've got this song. I think it'll work. And then we just played it one day, and we kept it going.
So the reason I got hooked on Lose Yourself as the first song on my workout playlist is that was the song that when Pete Carroll would walk onto the field when he was the coach at USC, they would start playing, that drum beat would start in the beginning of Lose Yourself, and you would start seeing these guys coming down the tunnel.
Yeah.
And then when Eminem starts talking, that's when USC would run on the field. And that's when they were, you know, they went 3 years, they lost one game, you know, and they were really,
they
really
were like
good.
A pro team.
Yeah.
The golden years, man.
I remember the linebackers 1 year were Clay Matthews, Ray Malauga, and Brian Cushing all on the same team.
Yeah. Right.
And they all were all rookie in the NFL. They were all like really good.
God, that was a good time.
Great period of time. Yeah. Oh, man.
I mean, we thought we had it for a second here with, you know, Lincoln's first year.
Right.
But it was kind of like, you know.
Kind of fade.
Well, it just
faded.
It was like, you know, kind of fluky.
He's gotten like tons of people through the transfer portal.
Well, you have
defensive
to.
Players through the
you
transfer portal.
You have to. I mean, because the defense was terrible.
And Danton Lynn is the new defense.
You stole him from Ireland and Bergman's team.
Defense won the spring game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, defense should always be ahead of the offense early in the year, right?
Well, by the unless way, you have Lincoln Riley as your coach, and then you're supposed to have this
That's fair.
Magical offense.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. You said stole him, George, but maybe he knew that Chip Kelly was going to go and become the offensive coordinator
be
at Ohio State.
A coward? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They just Twitter. Named the NBA's most improved player of the year. George, who do you think got it?
Maxey?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey of the Sixers. He deserves it.
Great player.
Yeah, he's been great.
I felt terrible for him last night.
Well, both the end of both those games. If you don't have a dog in the fight, obviously I did.
Right. It was insane. What a great night of basketball.
Maybe the greatest night in the last 20 years in the NBA.
It was great.
Two games you could not turn off.
We had a stat on ESPN. I can look it up as you guys talk on ESPN Stats and Info about the last time we had back-to-back buzzer beaters like that in the playoffs. But hold on, give me.
Yeah,
it
was. I mean, Cappy, do you think the Lakers lost that game or did the Nuggets win it?
When you're up 20 points, and even when you are up 10 points going into the fourth quarter, and when LeBron put him up by 9, yeah, I got to say that the Lakers lost that game. By the way, it doesn't mean to take away from Denver winning it, because Denver did come take it, but the Lakers just fell apart.
Yeah,
how do you feel? Do you think that they...
I don't want to take anything away from Denver, George. I think they're the best fourth quarter team I've ever seen. They remind me of those Warriors teams that, you know, Steph, KD, and Clay, that would fall behind by 20 and you never thought they were going
to
lose.
So I would say, I would equate them to these, like, great teams, right, that assembled with great talent. Shaq and Kobe, right? Those teams never
felt
like...
And Murray and Jokic are just two of the best clutch players in league history. They're both great.
Shaq and Kobe, you never felt like you were out of it. I mean, that Portland game is a perfect example, right? The Warriors, LeBron with the Heatles. Like, those guys always came back from big deficits. And the Nuggets are in that same class. I mean, the Spurs, to be honest, in the years they've won, have had that kind of element to them as well. So here's the answer to the question. It was only the third day in the last 25 postseasons where you had back-to-back multiple winning field goals in the last 15 seconds of the game. Jamal Murray, Dante DiVincenzo yesterday. Previous to that, LeBron in 2018 and Al Horford did it on the same day. And then before that, 2006, LeBron and Kevin Martin.
Wow.
Yeah, so LeBron part of three of them, technically, although twice on the front end, yes.
Yeah. Well, I said that last night, Mason. We're so used to being on the right side of those.
Sure. You know,
whether it be Derek Fisher's 0.4 shot, Anthony Davis against Denver in the bubble, Kobe too many times to count, and now I know how all those teams feel.
I think you were kind of alluding to it here. It's kind of their time right now. Right. Like, as long as they're healthy, they're the best team.
They're the team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Boston is deeper. But I just think Boston's variance will be a problem because they shoot so many threes that there's going to be games where they shoot themselves out of it.
Right. And Boston is, they're going to need a really big series out of Porzingis if it's Celtics Nuggets in the finals.
Crushed by Jokic.
Jokic is just so good.
He's going to crush him.
So good.
AD did as good a job as you could do on Jokic. And still,
when's the last time you saw somebody start a game 14 for 15?
I mean, I don't remember, to be honest. It's been a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Mace, you going to the game on Thursday night?
Oh, boy.
That's a good question.
Oh, wow. Wait,
an event of this magnitude?
You're not going to be there and leave before the fourth quarter?
I have you on the list to get a credential.
I'm going.
Okay.
I'm going. It's automatic.
I need to know that now.
Yeah, no, I'm going.
Okay. Listen, if you don't go, I'm calling Paul Benedict again like I did that last
time. Yeah, no, I'm going. Yeah.
Mace, I'll even throw you one better. You ready for this?
Yeah, ready.
Sure. Because George and I, on Thursday,
we'll
be at Hennessy's in Hermosa.
Oh, such an easy trip for me.
Anyway, that's a $16 million house.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We're gonna do a combo plate that day.
You guys are going to be at Hennessy's, which is a great spot.
Yeah. Oh, 3 to 5:30, okay.
And then he's going to head over here.
I'm leaving.
I'm not.
Hermosa, and I'm going to come up and go to the game. Now, I will not have checked in to my home away from home, the East Central, across the street. Mace, I'll give you my hotel room.
Wow.
Not having been used.
Right.
Not having slept in the bed naked. Okay? Right? Not having a do not disturb sign on the door so nobody comes in. You can check in as me, use my hotel room.
Right. If they ask for ID?
You call ahead
and you say Steve Mason is gonna check
but
in.
But wait a minute, so you're gonna use this room after I use it?
Yeah, but you will have already left. Yeah,
right, but I'm gonna flop in the bed. He
doesn't care about this stuff. You do.
Yeah, I'll sleep on the other side. It don't matter to me.
Okay, yeah, I'll take it, man.
Okay, so then here's what we do. Then Thursday, I get back up. Let's put it this way. Mm-hmm. The show's going to end at 5:30.
Right.
Game's going to start at 7.
Yep.
Based on coming from Hermosa to downtown LA.
Do you think
LA
makes it on time?
I should be there by like the last 2 minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you know? Right.
No, you're
right in the middle of the jam. Yeah.
You're going to be close. Do you have fast track, Cappy?
I do.
Oh, then you're good.
You're okay.
Because you got to jump on the 105, 105 to 110, you're good.
Yep. Yeah, you'll make it. I think you'll be there for the opening.
But you're going to have to drive from Hermosa, PCH to El Segundo.
Yeah, I don't mind doing that. As George will attest.
Don't go to the 405.
Where we live, the hardest thing is getting to the freeway. Once you get to the freeway, you're fine. But we live in places that are not near a freeway.
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm trying.
Ready, Mace.
I'm there.
Are you going to go?
I'm totally there. Yeah, I'm in.
Don't fake.
I'm not going to fake.
All right?
No, I'm not faking. I'm going to be there.
So, Donner, do you have more games left?
I do. I'm off this week because I had a back-to-back this past week, so I'm off this week and I'm back on next week.
Right. Yeah, back-to-backs are hard, aren't they?
Man, I was gassed.
For everybody, but he flies commercials, so it's harder for him than it is for me.
So I did the game, the Chicago-Miami play-in game, and then took a 6 a.m. flight on 3 hours of sleep to Minneapolis. Damn. Did not sleep in the bed in Minneapolis. Literally just went there. I worked out. Right. I went and got a good workout to just get the endorphins going.
Sure.
Drank a big cup of coffee and went to the arena.
Ugh. And then gave you a great report going into the
fourth quarter. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. And I got to work with Hubie Brown at 90 years old. And
unbelievable.
I mean, listen, that's awesome. He was so good. Like, he was
turns
on
91
it.
In September.
Wow, that's crazy. And still.
And I'll tell you one thing about Hubie Brown, George. I hope it's still this way for you. Every time I watch that guy do a game, you'll learn something you didn't know before.
So, perfect example. Yeah. We were watching, there was a point in the game where Grayson Allen is trying to post up, get Kevin Durant a post up, right?
Yeah.
And he dumps it into Durant, and then Durant you could tell he's like telling him to do something, and he just finally throws it back to Grayson in like disgust, and then Grayson turns it over the next time he tries to bring it in. And Hubie goes, he's like, oh, Allen, you gotta move. When you dump it into Durant, you gotta move. You can't stay in the same spot in the three-point line.
Right.
You can stay in the three-point line, but you gotta move up or down the line to give Durant a better chance to get it back to you to repost him. And it was like, and when he said it, I'm like, I've never thought of that, but it makes total sense.
Wow.
Now, if you're the Suns, you want to post up on the other side and then move down. Now, if you're the Wolves, you know they're going to do that. Yeah. So you turn around and don't let them do it.
Let me tell you, he is the best storyteller. Before the games, when we have like those 90 minutes before we even see the coaches when we get to the arena, just the incredible stories that he can tell are just out of this control. I cherish every moment.
Yeah,
and he is a rock star. Like, we were at the hotel. People wanted to take pictures with him.
Oh, sure.
Like, one guy said he went to one of his camps when he was a kid growing up and told him like the whole story.
Is
it was
there
great.
Anyone else, any of us know that is still working at age 90?
I don't know anyone else.
Vin made it to 89.
Yeah.
Checked out at 85.
Right. My friend Dick Emberg unfortunately died at 81.
81.
Yeah. And he was still working, but still.
But I mean, even just in life.
Right. I don't know anybody.
People were. I like
good
my mom and Leo work. They're 90. Or I'm sorry, they're 83 and 82.
What do you mean they work?
They work.
Yeah, like they're
both
employed.
Have jobs.
They both have jobs.
So what do they do, Leo and not step?
Well,
mom,
he works at the.
Leo's a tour guide. Yeah. What's Donna doing?
Leo's a tour guide at Living Desert.
School, right?
My mom's the office lady at Jungle Glen Middle School in Palm Desert.
Yeah, there you go. So Leo, not stepdad Leo, it's not like some volunteer thing he does when he wants to do it.
He's getting paid, dog.
It's a for money thing.
Getting them checks.
It's a regular W-2,
dog.
Gig.
And
regular
mom
gig.
Still works at the school.
Wait a minute.
Still cranking away at the school.
Ramona just reminded me. He doesn't have a set schedule, but Bill Burtka is 91, and Bill might be 93 now.
Wow.
I gotta look that up. And he still is on the Laker payroll.
No, I mean, that's great. Hubie does like 10 games during the regular season, and then he'll do two rounds of the playoffs.
I'm not making 91.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Most people aren't making 91.
I'm not.
Right?
I'm not
give me 85,
91.
I'll sign up for right now.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'll take 85.
Yep.
It's a good number.
Yeah. My dad almost made 84. Your dad make 80?
No, 76.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
Yeah,
76.
All right, give me 85, I'll take it.
He went early. All right, on that note, we're out of here.
That was a real positive.
Hey, when did
we're all going to die.
Years
can't wait till we die.
Hey, when did everybody's parents die? All right, we're back tomorrow at 1, 710 ESPN.
Here we go, 421 in the Southland, sucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Live imaging Tuesday is on. Sedano and Cappy, the LA Afternoon Drive Takeover.
Ba-da-ba-ba.
Boom. I did it at 10 a.m. and it still seems appropriate. It is a final. Pick up your commemorative. Oh no! The Nuggets got us again. T-shirts at the door.
Yikes!
Oh really? We making those? I should make those.
You should make those.
Okay. Can we start by having the conversation? Because we started this the other day. And Lindsay, I'm sorry to do this to you, but this happened, like, in the group text again.
Yesterday we did this.
Yeah, we did this yesterday, and then, because we highlighted the conversation when she put the switch, remember the other
switch.
Day?
Right, switch.
The switch, there's the switch, yeah.
That's, so, oh, by the way, that is, the transmitter is now powered on for entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. So, Lindsay was saying that LeBron was going to turn on the switch, and he was going to save the day, and it just, the switch didn't have enough power.
So when she texted in the group chat,
Yesterday. This is now yesterday.
We were talking about it yesterday, but we were actually talking about the night before.
Right.
Talking about Saturday's game.
Saturday's game. When the switch got turned on in her thing, that's when it all went to hell.
Right. It did go to hell. So then yesterday, during the game, Lakers are up. Even though the lead had dwindled to only a couple at halftime, It was
It dwindled some.
But they had a decent lead at halftime. And Lindsay writes in the group text.
After he hits the second three-pointer.
I said, I think that they're winning the series, which I still think they can win the series.
So LeBron hits the back-to-back three-pointers.
No, this is well before that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
No, it was well before that. It was early on. It was around halftime.
Was it halftime?
Yeah, it was around halftime.
Okay.
And then in the third quarter, all of a sudden, here come the Nuggets, right? Here come the Nuggets. And the Nuggets are coming, just like Jaws. The Nuggets were coming, and little by little, they were chipping away at the lead, Cappy. Okay, chipping. And then, in the fourth quarter, they came back, and they snatched it from the Lakers. Like Jaws in the movie.
Yeah.
You could see it coming.
It is true, though. I mean, listen, it's uncanny. Saturday, it was like, hey, they're switching. The light switch is on. They turned it on. All of a sudden, they fell apart. Last night,
more like this. Wait.
Yeah, that's probably what it sounded like then, when the switch
switched
off.
Powered down the switch.
Yeah.
But then it's true. Right in that group chat, it was like, hey, they're winning this thing.
Oh, yeah, because it was LeBron is a treasure, and she sent us the video, which he is, of LeBron on the ground after that amazing layup.
That was amazing.
Incredible.
Can we add as well that she said, oh, D'Angelo Russell is playing out of his mind right now.
He was. Yeah. He was.
There was a D'Angelo Russell text, too. Yeah.
And then the second half comes, and then what happens?
I said it right away, though. I said he came to play.
I'm just saying. The second half came, and then there was nowhere to be found.
There was that one part in the game where they got it to two, and I said to all of you guys, uh-oh, and then LeBron hit back-to-back threes and extended the lead to nine. It's like, okay, wait a second. They took the punch, and now they're coming back. And then after LeBron hit those two threes, and I know a lot of people will complain about the last three that LeBron took that he didn't make where he was standing there all by himself.
It. He bricked it.
I mean, it was in and out. I don't know what he bricked it.
Break. That was a brick.
No, well, it was a miss. I mean, whether you want to call it a brick or a miss or a bad shot, or man is standing there by himself. He's the greatest player of his generation, and he's got an opportunity to ice the game right there. And as great as he shot three-pointers all season long, he missed the biggest shot of the year. His biggest shot of the year.
Yeah, power down. That's how it worked.
He's like, does not compute.
So I
does
would,
not compute.
I mean, it was... And then I waited until the end of the game was over. And then you know, you can do the reply to just a previous text. It was Lindsay's text. I think they're going to win the series. And I said, I don't think so anymore.
Wait, I want to know why you guys do that. Do you not text during the game because you don't want to like.
No, I just don't text during the game very often.
I mean, but honestly, I'm not going to lie. I had to call my friend afterwards and I was like, I turned the game off so many times in the fourth quarter because I was getting nervous that like I couldn't watch it. And like I had to have them like walk me back through because I was like, well, what exactly happened?
Well, we definitely didn't hear from you in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, we knew you were gone.
I was going
Steve Fulton style, turning it off, pacing around. Yeah. I haven't been that nervous about a game since the 2016 finals.
A game off when you get nervous?
Yeah, for just for a couple seconds.
So my dad, may he rest in peace, used to get mad and turn off games when he thought his team was like done. Like if it was like the fourth quarter and like all of a sudden like the team would go on like a 15-0 run or a 12-0 run, he'd be like, turn it off. And my mom would get so pissed. She'd be like, can't we just watch the end of the damn game?
I used to yell at my dad for doing it too, but I'll only turn it off for a couple seconds. And I'm like, oh, wait, I got to see what happened.
It was comical because at the end, so George replies to the Lindsay text, which was from 8:30 p.m., which was halftime. I'm telling you, they're winning this series.
Yeah. Still think they will.
Then after the game goes final. Sedano goes and replies just to that one, so it re-pops up, almost like a quote reply text.
Yeah.
Not looking like it.
You were just waiting on that. And I said, as soon as I said that, I was like, man, George is going to pounce on this the second they blow it.
The best part of it is...
Listen, I've been telling you guys for months.
Sure, but I wanted to say I told you so for once.
They are going to walk you down in the fourth quarter, and they're going to beat you because nobody out-executes the Nuggets. It just doesn't happen.
At no point did I think the Lakers were winning that game. Did you really, Cap, believe the Lakers were going to win?
I did. Because
he did. Cappy thought when LeBron hit those back-to-back threes and it was nine again.
Right. It was. Listen, when you have a 20-point lead, you're on the road. And by the way, I know we talked about this yesterday, and you're playing in the altitude. They kept bringing it up, especially late in the game. You know,
altitude, really?
Well, Harlan and them brought it up, and Reggie.
You don't think that's a thing?
Well, they were huffing and puffing at the end.
They were huffing and puffing. I think that's more of an age than an altitude.
No, it's a little
They were
both.
Huffing and puffing in the play-in game.
No, it's
and that was
it's,
in New Orleans.
It's both.
It is another level in the altitude. But
we should send you to Denver and see how you do in the altitude.
I'm not paid $51 million to make a three-pointer in the playoffs.
I'm just saying. We should have you just walk in Denver.
But if I was, no.
Walking in
I've been in Denver many times. I used to have a big client there. Oh. And here's the thing. When you drink, you get hit hard.
Oh, yeah.
But if I'm a player, I should be ready for that.
He must have been drinking.
There is really not a whole lot you can do, but neither here nor there.
Yeah.
The best don't part act about like you were Mr. Athlete, okay?
Well,
I kicked field goals once in Denver. Okay, great.
No. I actually did altitude training.
Wow.
With
the mask?
That's what world-class athletes
like,
do. You know?
Yes, intense training?
With the VO2 mask, yes, that's right. That's what world-class
like
athletes
Bane?
Do. Right.
You really adopted the dock. I was born in it. You merely adopted the altitude. I was born in it.
This might be the best impersonation Shadano does. That was amazing.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
The best part is the anger after the game. I love the
so
fan
mad.
Anger.
The circle of trust was on literal fire.
Okay. Right. Yes. So let me tell you. So that yesterday we had this conversation. Anthony Davis was angry that he was not a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year.
Right.
He said, I'm the best defensive player in the league.
Right.
And the reason I wasn't even considered in the final three is because the NBA doesn't like me. I play for the Lakers.
Right.
Okay. Now you have a chance in the very last second of the game to make a great defensive play. And listen, you want to debate all day long, right position, great effort. You want to talk about Murray stepping back, shooting over. You want to have that conversation, that's fine. The bottom line is LeBron missed the shot when LeBron needed to hit it, and Anthony Davis got shot over, and that was the game winner. And those are the facts. So I happen to mention on Twitter, here's a guy who's complaining about not being considered for the Defensive Player of the Year, and he's got the defensive play of the entire season, and he gets shot over. And I love the response. This is my favorite response when people are angry. You don't get it, man. You're not from here, bro. I'm like, wait, what? So, wait, I'm not born and raised in LA, so I don't get it?
Well, that's
I get it.
Yeah, that's a
excuse.
Dumb response.
I get it just fine. Anthony Davis complained that he should have been considered for a Defensive Player of the Year. And in a moment in the game where the guy who says he's the best defender in basketball has to come up with a huge stop, he didn't, period.
Correct. And by the way, that wasn't where the complaining ended. And let's get to that on the other side, because I felt like that was just as much a travesty in the postgame. We'll get to that. Stick around. 710 ESPN.
All right. Let me tell everybody that after a game like last night, you talk about being nervous. Somebody turns the game off. I never turn the game off. But listen, you talk about your nerves and what's going on in that game and when it's over, man, unless you were doing it during the game, on icy cold Coors Light. I mean, you needed something refreshing. You needed something cold and crispy and clean and refreshing. Oh, man, what a freaking game last night. And after it, whether you were celebrating or you were just kind of crying about what happened, you needed that icy cold Coors Light. I want to invite everybody to visit this website, cachoosechill.com. Everywhere you drive throughout Southern California right now, especially near sports facilities, you see those Coors Light billboards everywhere. So hit that website, cachoosechill.com. You can pick up your icy cold Coors Light near you, or you can even have it delivered today. So visit that website, cachoosechill.com, 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And when drinking that icy cold Coors Light, celebrate responsibly.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Great call by Johnny I last night.
Yeah.
With Brickhouse, that's not nice, DeAndre.
Wow.
Is that for LeBron? Pop that up a little bit. Come on now.
You did that by accident. You had no idea what you were doing.
You know, I just got some stuff, man.
You got some stuff, huh?
Brickhouse, huh?
Look at him. He was like, oh, wait, what? Like, what did I do?
What did I do here?
It is the Wawa Grill. Sit down with Cap, 4 p.m. hour on 710.
Way to go, DeAndre.
Presented by Wawa Grill. Kids eat free at Wawa Grill. Bring your kids in for a free chicken or tofu mini bowl.
Yeah.
With any entree purchase weekdays after 4 and all weekend long. Restrictions apply.
So, Cappy, I want to get into what happened in the game and why we did like a very brief summary of what happened, but I want to get to what led to that. But before that, what really stood out to me yesterday was the gall of the Lakers, okay, of both Darvin Ham and LeBron. Like, I get they were upset about a call, but you can't blame the refs when you lost a 20-point lead, okay? Like, you blew a 20-point lead in the second half, okay? So let me give you just some statistics, okay? Actually, let's do this. Before that, let's hear from Darvin Ham first, okay, in the postgame, not happy with the officiating.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right. Well, maybe not.
I'm waiting.
Yeah, it's okay. So
my wide orbit just crashed.
It's okay. So anyway, neither guy was necessarily thrilled with the officiating. And here's the deal, okay? Let me explain that play that they were upset about. It was D'Angelo Russell going to the basket, driving to the basket. He gets fouled, right? Initially called a foul on Michael Porter Jr. He gets hit in the head. Mm-hmm. Now, what happens is this. Michael Malone, the Denver Nuggets head coach, challenges the play. Mm-hmm. And during the game, you hear Reggie going, ooh, I don't know if I like that as a challenge. But what ends up happening is this. By the rule, the refs got it right. Now, you may not like the rule, but the reality is the rule, they read it to the letter of the law. So Scott Foster goes to the replay machine, and him and Secaucus are talking, and what happens is they realize, oh, when he hit him in the face, the ball was long gone out mm-hmm. of his hands. So mm-hmm. it did not affect the shot attempt in that scenario. The only contact there was a small bump, okay, as they were colliding, as D'Angelo was going to the rim, hence why they used the word marginal contact. Because mm-hmm. they said, oh, we, you know, after review, the place has been overturned, challenge is successful, marginal contact, right? That was the description. What Scott Foster didn't describe afterwards, which I guess was described on the broadcast, great job by Harlan, Reggie, and Jamal Crawford there, is explaining the rule, which Laker fans were probably so irate they didn't hear it, or maybe they were watching the Billy Mack and Stu on Spectrum and Mike Trudell. But on TNT, those guys explained it, okay? They explained the rule that once the ball was out and well out of his hands, if he hit him in the face after the fact, it's not a foul.
Yeah.
That they were then determining what if there was enough contact as he was shooting or before he was shooting to determine if there was a foul. They realized there was not, hence no foul. So that is the rule to the letter of the law.
Okay.
And described perfectly by the broadcast on TNT.
Okay.
That's what Darvin and LeBron were upset about.
Okay.
By the way, not understanding the letter of the law of the rule.
Well, okay, look. Maybe not everybody understands every part of the rule. Most people, including LeBron and Darvin Ham and D'Angelo Russell, they looked at the play, okay? And they saw a guy who, yes, was the ball out of his hand? Absolutely. Did it impact the shot in any way? Absolutely not. But did he get smashed in the face? Yes, he did. Okay, so maybe the letter of the law says that's not a foul and obviously it was overturned. But here's the thing. When you lose a game in the last seconds and your best defensive player gets shot over by a guy 12 inches shorter than him, and then, by the way, Anthony Davis goes flopping into the Denver bench, which, by the way, I thought was very funny. Nonetheless, the thing is that when you don't know the rule, that's fine. But when you come out at a press conference afterwards and you complain about the officiating when you blow a 20-point lead, brother, and this is talking to you, LeBron, you're wrong, man.
Well,
you should not be complaining about officiating. You should be complaining about the way your team played.
And I don't disagree with you. So let's hear from Darvin Ham first, who went to the podium first and was not thrilled about the officiating, particularly that call on Russell.
Oh, no?
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
So there's that. Then LeBron goes to the podium and was asked about the call, and here's what he said.
I mean, yeah, of course it's a heartbreaking game. You'll never want to lose in that fashion. I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. I think I said it this year or last year or whatever. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. Replay center is going to go. It doesn't make sense to me. Makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that shit is like. And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game too. What are we doing?
What are we doing?
Why does that version sound like we ran it through a steam closet?
Yeah, it does.
What are we
weird.
Doing here? What are we doing?
But I would also add that.
That's not the version we played all day.
I would also add, I mean, I'm sure there's a cleaner version that we can find for later. But
that's my bad, y'all.
Here's what I would say, you know, just to address the last thing he said. You know, I know he's referring that Nick Nurse and everyone was trying to call timeout with the Sixers. By the time that they actually called for timeout, the ball was already out of Maxey's hands. So, I like, there's that part of it, too. But I'm with you, Cappy. You can't blow a 20-point lead, okay?
And complain about officiating. Right.
Here are some numbers for you. During the regular season, I mentioned this yesterday, 38 20-point leads blown this year, okay? They blew one in the second half. Do you know how many of those happened in the second half this year?
Zero.
No, 18.
Oh.
Okay.
It was a guess. It was just a guess.
But still, that's not a lot. How many games are played? 582 thousands. Games, you know, 582 instances of 20-point leads this season, and you know, 18 of those were blown at the half or in the second half. Mm-hmm. In the last five postseasons, do you know how many 20-point leads were blown in the last 5 years of the playoffs?
Zero?
No, five.
Oh, gosh, darn it.
Yeah. So it's not like that happens that much. So you know what? Darvin Ham and LeBron got to look at themselves in the mirror a little bit there. I'm with you on that.
Well, let me tell you something.
The man in the mirror, like Michael talks about?
Yeah. Very much so. But, but let me tell
I'm
you
asking
something.
Him to change his ways.
Change his ways.
If you're Darvin Ham, not only did you come off, you said it yourself, I don't like to use the referees as an excuse.
But you're using them.
But I want to use the referees as an excuse.
Yeah.
And for LeBron to sit up there and use that sort of tone like, I don't know what are we doing here? And I'm going to curse. And by the way, I saw that all play out live on SportsCenter where he wasn't beeped out. They actually, you know, aired the F word and the S word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, LeBron, listen, man, this is your team. You're on the road. You have a 20-point lead in the game. You have a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter. And by the way, after back-to-back threes, you have a 9-point lead. Listen, you can blame the refs, you can make excuses, you can tell me about strategy and about switching, you know, Jokic off of AD, and all that is nonsense. You had a monster lead. At the beginning of the fourth quarter, George, I tweeted, can the Lakers finish? That was the question. Can they finish? And guess what? The answer is they could not.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, because we're talking about post-game press conferences. You hear LeBron, you hear Darvin Ham. But the guy who made the waves in the post-game press conference
was
Anthony Davis.
Yeah, about the last question about Jamal Murray. Or
no, not that. Oh. It was the question about Darvin.
Okay, well, let's save that.
Yeah, we want to save it. But he's the guy who won the press conference last night because he ratted out everybody.
Yeah, so right. It wasn't just Darvin. He ratted out, like, he basically called out the entire team in that scenario.
Right.
So let's get to that in a little bit. Here's what I want to do, Cappy. You know what I want to do?
Tell me.
We never take calls.
Oh, my God.
And I may live to regret this.
Don't. No, come on, man. The circle of trust is going to come in with good calls if you want to take calls. I'm down for
huge calls.
I'm going to live. I may live to regret this. But for
opening the phones?
For one
open
segment.
Them up.
Like Tom
open
Mooney
them.
Used to do with JT the Brick?
I have just released the phone lines.
Release the Kraken?
Yes. 877-710-ESPN. We haven't taken a call other than a contest in months, maybe years, honestly.
Yeah. It's been a long time.
But we're going to do it right now. 877-710-3776.
I want people on the phones to tell us to look at the man in the mirror.
Yeah.
This like LeBron's got to look at it.
A therapy session. If you want, we will give you some free therapy, okay? 877-710-ESPN.
No AD mic dropping, though.
877-710-3776.
I hope someone calls. Someone call and say you don't get it because you're not from here.
Let's bang calls next, sucker.
Banging calls on Shit Out of a Cap on a Live Imaging Tuesday on a Michelob Ultra Reaction Tuesday. Michelob Ultra 2.6 carbs, 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it, sucker. Yes, indeed. 10 minutes in front of 5 o'clock.
No.
Shit Out of a Cap here on a Live Imaging Tuesday.
Yeah.
On this day in 1988, the number one hit. Whitney.
Yeah.
Where do broken hearts go?
I mean, they go, clearly they leave Denver and come back to LA.
Right, they go to the Crypto.com arena on Thursday.
They go from Ball Arena to Crypto.com.
Or they go and complain about referees.
At the postgame, at the podium.
Yeah. Or they sell out their entire team.
Yeah. And by the way, you know, what's his face? Tim in the OC?
Yeah.
You and, you know, Den Meow. Oh, you guys never, ever, you never criticized Darvin Ham and LeBron. You know what? I'm creating a new terminal, okay?
Terminal L?
Terminal F-U. How about that?
Oh.
All right, how about that?
Terminal F-U?
And by the way, Dead Meow, as he noticed, because I put it in the circle of trust when Tim questioned me, like, I don't criticize anybody around here. I literally told, I yelled for weeks about the coach's lineups. I literally said it to him in a meeting. Like, yo, why aren't you playing Rui to start the game instead of Torian Prince? And then he told me, which I reported on television, oh, you know, I want spacing. I think the spacing's better with Torian, which I didn't agree with, but I'm not going to fight the man on it. You know what I mean? It's his team, not mine.
Yeah. Well, by the way, I was wrong about something I said yesterday. I said, hey, look, you know what you're going to get from LeBron? You know what you're going to get from AD? You've got to get D'Lo to score in the 20s for the Lakers to win. Well, that happened.
It did.
But you know what else didn't happen?
What?
Rui gave you nothing offensively. Austin Reeves, kind of marginal at best offensively. And you just look at the other side, and we talked about this yesterday. You know, their five are better than the Lakers' five.
They
That's all.
Yes, and here's the thing.
And LeBron's old. He's out of gas. He missed that three at the end of the game because he's fatigued, and it's not his fault because he's putting the whole team on his back, and he can't do it anymore.
But the argument that he shouldn't have taken the three is preposterous.
No, that's preposterous.
Okay, because here's the deal.
No, but double preposterous.
Well, who thinks he shouldn't have taken the three? Come on, Cappy.
A bunch of people in my mentions. So he crosses up KCP, who falls on
breaks his ankle,
slides 15 feet away from him. Okay,
yeah.
There is nobody within 15 feet of him. I will trust LeBron on this. On the floor, he's going to do the math in real time and say, crap, I almost cursed.
Yeah,
crap.
You almost did.
There's 12 seconds or whatever it was, 16 seconds on the clock. Am I going to get a better shot at this than this one right now?
Oh, you're saying the argument to run out time.
That was the argument. Right. But what are you going to do? Run out time and then what if you don't get a shot
right,
up?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So this at least guarantees you he hits it. You got a 3-point lead, Jack. You know what I'm saying? If he doesn't, you got to defend to go into overtime.
Well, he was hoping AD, the other $50 million guy, would play some defense, not get his ankles broken as he went flying into the bench.
So there you go. Like, I have no problem with that shot.
By the way, I'm glad you said that. I'm very glad you said it. Because honestly, everybody told me, they're like, that was great defense. That was awesome defense by AD. I'm like,
where?
He played it as well as you could play it. Jamal Murray just hit a better shot.
Listen, you can tell me that, but I would say this to you, that if you go back and you actually really watch it, it's as if AD kind of makes a move towards the basket rather than towards the
shooter. Well, because he jab-stepped towards the basket and then he faded back.
He got faked out.
Okay.
And so for a guy who's supposed to be the defensive player of the year and he says he's the best defensive player in the league, you know what? He had an opportunity to make a play and he didn't.
Fine.
And you point that out and people lose their minds.
But fine, and I'm not losing my mind, but what I will say to you is this.
You, everybody else.
And this is my problem with Lakers fans. Sometimes you got to tip your cap to the other team. They're better than you. I know that's hard to swallow.
It is hard when you are up 20 points on the road. It's very hard to swallow.
And it's hard to swallow even if they were up only 5 on the road.
10 points going into the fourth quarter.
Okay, the Laker fans have been, because they're the crown jewel of the NBA, okay? They're used to winning. They're used to being on the other side of that, where their guy is the one hitting the dagger shot on the... That ain't 2024, Jack. The better team is in Denver.
Uh-oh. Somebody's going to rack them.
They are the better team. They have been one of the best, if not the best, clutch teams in the entire sport, dating back well over a calendar year, almost 18 freaking months. I've been telling you for months. I told you last year, and I will tell you again this year. If you don't have a significant lead on them in the fourth quarter, you're done.
Yeah, well, 10 should have been significant enough. 20 was certainly significant in the middle of the third quarter. And the fact that when the game was over, and again, we'll go back to it, complaining about the officiating is childish, okay?
You're right. It's weak. Yeah.
It is, honestly, it is some Little League, Bush League nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay?
Can we open the phones, Cappy?
Cappy, let me go to the phones. We got people.
We're throwing out a vine.
We're throwing out a vine. Grant in Long Beach.
Hey, guys. I just have a problem with how we come out of timeouts. We just look unorganized. Mike Malone is flat out coaching us every single timeout that they come out of after they call a timeout.
So Grant, here's what I would say to that. I don't know about every single time because I'm not necessarily paying that close attention every single time, but what I would say to you is this. Your organization, the Los Angeles Lakers, decided to hire a rookie coach, and he's only in his second season. And you know what happens to coaches in their second seasons? You know, they get marginally better at stuff. But here's the other thing that usually young coaches have. on their staffs? An old head. A guy who's been a head coach. You know what this franchise did not do for Darvin Ham last year or this year? Put like a veteran former head coach on his staff. Mm. That's generally what they do, okay? Go look around the league, all right? When guys are, you know, Michael Malone's a perfect example. Stan Van Gundy, when he was the coach in Orlando, and granted, he had had a stint already before in Miami, but he was still youngish as a coach. He'd only been a coach for a couple of years. He had Brendan Malone on his staff, Michael Malone's dad, who had been around forever, you know, a big part of the NBA community and coaching staffs forever. I mean,
it's just a smart move. When you have a young coach,
you got to have a veteran guy there.
When the Rams hired Sean McVay, they brought in Wade Phillips.
Right.
You know, to be the defensive coordinator, but really to hold the young coach's hand. It's just, listen, you hired a rookie coach, and the worst thing that happened to the Lakers, and I know we're going to go right back to the calls, the worst thing that happened was making it to the Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah, because now the expectations were you need to get to the finals.
Next caller, you got to match Sedano's energy.
Omar Lopez.
Match
what up,
Sedano.
Omar Lopez?
My man, the sock man.
Hey, what's up, Jack? Let me check it out, man. It's just plain and simple. We suck. Get over it. I got tickets for Jeannie Buzz, Rob Pelinka, the whole liquor bench to Terminal H. And finally, I cracked the code. I know what Coach Ham has in his pockets. He has the paper. When a call timeouts, because he never uses them. He takes them to the next game. What is going on? Please.
I will give you that, Omar. Thank you. Keeping the two timeouts. Here's what I would have done. Okay, and I know Reggie Miller on the broadcast liked that they didn't call timeout. I did not. I was immediately saying to myself, you're on I would have liked for him to have called timeout to set up a play. Now, granted, LeBron got a great look, but I would have liked to have seen a different personnel out there potentially. And if you could go offense defense, which wasn't a given based on Denver, right, situation, and then like you missing the shot. But let's say you make it, Denver is going to call a timeout there, right? So if you call a timeout before the LeBron shot that he missed when KCP fell, and let's say you make it because you're drawing up an ATO out of the timeout.
ATO.
I heard it, an ATO. That's
yes.
Right.
And then let's say you make it, Denver's immediately going to call timeout. So that allows you then to sub, and you could have put in Gabe Vincent in there instead of D'Angelo Russell and other guys just to play defense. You know, guys that just play defense, you could have put him in there for one play, and maybe it's not just Anthony Davis out there on an island in that scenario. Rob is in L.A.
Matches energy, Rob.
Come on, Rob. What do you got, man?
Fellas, I'm so glad you just said Terminal FU. I love you, Cap. I love you, George. But you guys are the first two members of Terminal FU.
Why is that?
If this was Spoelstra complaining about a timeout, you wouldn't be saying nothing. And I'm not a Darvin Ham fan, but you know LeBron and Darvin Ham were just trying to gain leverage for the next game. This you know.
Totally fair point.
Gain leverage for the next game?
Yes, that's right. Because what LeBron was doing was LeBron was putting pressure on the officiating crew, and he was putting pressure on the league. Come on, guys. What are we doing here? What are we doing? I mean, and him cursing like that, and him, you know, going public like that, criticizing the referees, I actually agree with the caller because that is exactly what he's doing, is he's putting pressure on the officials and on the league for the next game. And by the way, I'm happy to lead the crew to Terminal F-U.
By the way, Dan Meow says there's not a terminal built yet. It's still under construction. So there's just a Terminal F-U lounge in
okay,
Terminal H.
Got it. Got
can
it.
We run up an ATO in the break?
Yeah, I can draw up an ATO.
Dude, I'd love to have an ATO. Yeah.
All right, are we good? So here's what we do. Coming up next, all right, let's get into, you mentioned Anthony Davis. All right, AD put the entire team on blast, including the head coach. We'll have that for you. Maybe we'll take more calls.
I think that's a good idea.
Maybe. We'll see. I mean, you haven't made me feel terrible about it yet. All right, let's get to that next.